Welcome to the Duluth Rundown interview section. We are just about to get going with our next interview, but first, a message from our sponsor, Austin Jaro Sports. Austin Jaro is where you want to go to get anything running related, from gear to shoes to food, and of course, great advice from all the people that work up there. So check out Austin Jaro at 1025 West Central Entrance here in Duluth, Minnesota. Thanks, Austin Jaro.
All right, and now we are underway with our interview portion of the podcast. We are joined with by Chelsea Youngberg. Chelsea, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, nice. You're a person who locally, lately, I don't know, maybe the past, from what I can tell, maybe 3 years is really kind of starting to make a name for yourself. You're like competing a lot and doing really well. Mm-hmm. Having chatted with you briefly in the past, I know that you ran and skied at Scholastica. Mm-hmm. But tell us about before that. When did you get started? Where did you go to high school? When did you get started with kind of the endurance sports world?
Well, I actually only skied at Scholastica.
Oh, okay.
So I did the Nordic ski team there. But as far as like endurance sports, I dabbled in track in middle school, but I didn't really take it seriously. And then I joined the cross-country running team sophomore year of high school.
Okay.
I played soccer my freshman year on the high school team. And then after the state meet of my freshman year in high school, my coach asked me to join cross-country running just because it's better aerobic training, yeah, and endurance training for skiing.
Your ski coach asked you to join.
Yep. Yeah. After looking at results and said that I would improve, yeah, just by doing endurance sports more than just the winter. So,
and what school, mm-hmm, was this? Where were you?
Duluth East.
Oh, Duluth East. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Perfect. So born and raised in Duluth.
Yeah.
I liked soccer, but kind of moved to running, and then I also joined the track team. So did three sports. My sophomore, junior, and senior year of Duluth East,
yeah,
and then I guess I would say I didn't take it so seriously. Like, I was often skipping intensity workouts or interval workouts to go to the mall with my friends. And I just kind of liked the camaraderie of, like, being on a team. Even though it's, like, individual, you're still, like, working as a team to do well at races. And, you know, yeah, state meet in Minnesota high school,
yeah,
for skiing is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I joined after my junior year. James Kies, he's in Duluth. He started a ski club, a summer training club called Lake Superior Ski Club, so LSSC. And I joined that. I trained with the guys. I really enjoyed it and started to fall in love with, like, just the process of improving over that summer. And then come senior year of high school, I was number one on the cross-country team, winning meets. That was fun.
Nice.
Ski season went really well. I think I ended up sixth at state. So I decided from there I want to ski in college, so I went to Scholastica.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So was that kind of an easy choice? I mean, so I just discovered this recently, and a lot of our listeners I'm sure know, but I just found out there's only two colleges in Minnesota that offer Nordic ski teams.
Oh, yeah.
Olaf and Scholastica.
Yep, Gustavus did, but I think
not recently,
it's probably been a few years since they cut their Nordic ski program.
Yeah.
But I know quite a few skiers that did ski for Gustavus. It's unfortunate that they don't have a ski program anymore. But yeah, now that seems accurate, just Olaf and Scholastica. Yeah,
which is really strange to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But did that make the decision kind of easy for you to stay at home and ski here? Or were you thinking, well, even out east or Michigan or somewhere up, they'll ski there?
That intimidated me. I think it was pretty easy to stay at Scholastica or stay in Duluth and go to Scholastica,
yeah,
just because I did want to stay close to home. I love Duluth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I applied at a few other colleges, but ultimately just chose to stay at Scholastica, even though it's a Division III college. I was just getting my, you know, foot in the door and having some success with skiing.
Yeah.
So it was just my senior year. I wasn't outstanding before that. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you were, in a way, you were still pretty new to it, and certainly new to sort of the high end of the sport too.
Right. And
yeah,
kind of learning that if you, you know, are actually consistent with training and, you know, getting out every day instead of skipping practice, you'll have some pretty immediate success. So,
yeah.
Went to Scholastica and they have tryouts, in the fall to be on the varsity ski team or development team. It was coached under Chad Samala then, which he, after my senior year, which is 2016, he actually switched over to coaching the cross country running program there.
Yeah.
But under the fall, you would have to do like a time trial, upstrand roller skiing, and then you had to do a running time trial up Spirit Mountain from the zoo, and then a strength test also. So that kind of dictated who would be on the varsity team or development team. So I was excited to be on the varsity team, and I ultimately didn't have a lot of success at Scholastica. I think just going through some stress in life, and like lots of change. It was very hard to adjust to college life and personal things, but kind of felt burnt out after college. Yeah. And then I took a few years off actually until 2019, and then I picked up running because back when I went to college there, you couldn't do both at the same time.
Okay.
You either had to, just because the training in the fall was so intense, you had to pick skiing, and you couldn't run cross country,
okay.
Which was unfortunate because I think that would have helped the burnout, just having a different sport to train for, instead of just putting your head down and grinding and doing skiing all year round.
Yeah. So. It's interesting. We don't hear about that a lot in the college level. We hear about that. We want kids to sort of try a lot of different sports at the high school, middle school and high school level. Then once we get to college, you really kind of, it seems like for the most part, we want people to focus in on the one sport. But to your point, it might have been good to have
the that variety two
and maybe even
bit.
Three, who knows? But
yeah,
the little variety. Yeah.
Yeah. Three, I can see it can be a lot, but
right.
Two would have helped change it up. And it's not like running is bad for skiing. Obviously, it's great training for skiing. And maybe if you want to reach the highest of success, you have to focus in on one. But mentally, I found for me, it's nice to have like a couple different focuses throughout the year. Otherwise, I do feel burnt out. So,
and I personally would argue that probably skiers need to run more because just from the outside looking in, because I'm not a skier and I'm not super into the world, they don't do a ton of enough aerobic stuff. They tend to do more technical and form drills and that kind of thing. It's an aerobic event. Your race is aerobic, and so you need to work on that, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I would say we did it. Chad was great at like helping you develop a base. Like a lot of people would come in and they wouldn't have like that base level of endurance where, you know, you're burning fat at a low heart rate for a period of time. So he would make you do a lot of long and slow stuff, which was great for developing that base.
Yep.
I just love running for that because it is so pure. Yeah. You're getting out the door, right, you know, from where you live, and I just don't enjoy roller skiing. I think it's clunky. It's awkward with traffic. You know, it's hard to share the road with cars. So,
like Leicester River Road.
Yeah.
Skiing up that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's stressful. So, I don't think I've roller skied once since college. I just love running. It's so much more enjoyable to me. So,
So it sounds like right away, Chelsea, you kind of got into skiing and then like took that on as your main thing, and that was like the focus, right?
Yep. And then after, so love skiing, got burnt out after college, and I honestly didn't do anything. I graduated in 2016. I moved to the cities and I didn't do any sports. I would, you know, go hiking maybe, but I was just kind of burnt out from everything. I would go paddle boarding and still stay somewhat active. But then 2019, I decided I wanted to run a marathon. So I was in the city, so I joined Mill City Running Race Team, which is an awesome group. It's grown so much even since I did it in 2019.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I followed their training program, which was ultimately just like one intensity workout on a Wednesday and then a long run on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I remember someone saying during Wednesday workout, like, are you trying to qualify for Boston? And I, I didn't even know what it was. So I was like, what is that? Like, I heard of Boston Marathon, but I didn't know like how to get into it or, you know, the different qualifications for your age group. So I looked it up and ran. I found out I had to run like a sub 330. So that became like this lofty goal. I had no idea if I could. I think it's like 750 have to run. So had no idea if I could do it, but I had a great training partner and we did all of our workouts together. So we set out with the 330 pace group for Grandma's Marathon in 2019. And at 18 miles, I was like, I feel really good. So I started running away from them and ran like a 3:27:02 and thought that was just so fast and amazing. But it was fun to qualify for Boston, the first marathon. So
Yeah, that's awesome.
So what like sparked the idea for a marathon? I mean,
I think after having so much time off, I was missing, you know, I feel like everyone that does sports or especially endurance sports, like we're so goal driven and that mindset of seeing the improvements over endurance sports, like, you know, if you're consistent, you can see your progress so easily and that's so fun. So I kind of missed training for something, striving for something, bettering myself at something every day. So I mean, I love being active and just moving my body outside, like anything outdoors. I love being outdoors, so I wanted to do something and strive for something, set a goal of some sort.
So. Well, that makes sense coming from skiing where you're, you know, at a high level, you know, competing on a collegiate level and then being burnt out. And I mean, it makes sense you wouldn't necessarily go back to skiing so fast because you've maybe been, you know, it's hard to like look back and say if you are at a high level, like I gotta work so hard to get back there. Whereas something new like running and it's totally different, like a marathon, you've never done it, it's like blank slate. So I think at least for me personally, that's where you can see some cool improvements. Some fast improvements, right? Just like the training immediately applies, you know.
I hadn't like explored running a lot yet and I was it took a minute to get back to skiing because I was so over it. But besides like cross country running my senior year of high school, I really had not explored it. And I loved it like senior year, like, you know, being fast and just from ski training. So because there's so much, you know, similar aerobic capacity. So I wanted to see like, you know, where I could go in this sport and especially not being able to do it in college. I loved the build of the marathon. Like it was so much work, but, and especially like getting off the couch cause I was really not fit whatsoever, but just those, you know, 5 to 6 months building up to Grandma's and then coming back from the cities and running in your hometown was so fun.
That's awesome. And it also goes, it speaks to like the idea that talent doesn't really go away. So if you were someone who was say was really good in high school or college, and then you take a break, which happens a lot with collegiate athletes, you can get back into it and you would be good. A lot of people don't because they're afraid they won't be good anymore or whatever. But talent doesn't go away. And we see that a lot too with high school kids when they have sort of setbacks in their progression. Sometimes kids progress 4 years in a row. Sometimes they have setbacks. But eventually, if they were good freshman year or something for, as a runner, they're going to be good again by the time they're in college or maybe out of college. Like talent doesn't go away. It's always going to be there. And props to you for getting back into any endurance sport, in this case running, and utilizing that talent.
For sure. Yeah, and I found, honestly, now, like, training and competing at, like, biking, running, and skiing, I feel, I know I'm way faster than I ever was at a collegiate level. So, you know, I think sometimes, you know, maybe it's not the norm, but you don't always reach your I guess ability or, you know, have the most success in at a college, you know, at the collegiate level. And I think I was just stressed and putting too much pressure on myself from a competing standpoint, and now I'm just having fun with it. So I'm like, no one cares about the results except me, like, so I found it like fun to compete instead of all of the anxiety that comes with racing.
So it sounds like, and I'm curious if you would agree with this, but you've kind of wizened since, and it's not, you're still really young. You're barely out of college. So that's really good to have that, that perspective at your age right now.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's cool. So interesting, like the tangible like results of, like you said, I'm in better shape, mm-hmm. like I'm faster than ever. And but it seems like mainly the mental game that's contributing to that, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Just mentally, like if you take the stress away from it and instead of wondering, you know, it's obviously it's vulnerability, like endurance sports, especially like it's individual, you're putting yourself out there and it is vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the times the results speak for themselves. But if you change that mindset and think about like, well, I'm obviously going to do the best that I can do. Yeah. And really at the end of the day, what else can you ask of yourself?
Totally.
Yep. I mean, then I think it becomes a lot less stressful and so much more fun to compete.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times I enjoy like the entire day of a race more. So, like I love the race. I love pushing myself. But just like going to a race with friends and like the buildup of that, the training plan, like following that, and then the whole day itself, it's like a celebration of your fitness, and it's so fun.
And everyone else's fitness, too, and it's like a mutual respect thing. Everybody hanging out, like, after the race, drinking a beer, and just talking about
the race.
Talking about their race.
Yeah. And the highs and the lows.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Me, too.
So fun.
Well, it's fun that day, as well, to reflect on the whole process, right? Like, I remember back in January, and then we've come this far, and, you know, back in January, you're thinking of, like, that time. Right. Like,
right.
Oh, that's gonna be nice after the race when this like is all over. Yeah. But then at that time, then you can reflect and kind of.
Yeah, it's crazy how far you can come during a marathon build because it is a lot of hours and a huge time commitment for sure.
Yeah.
Along those lines, are you a meticulous log keeper?
In college, we had this thing, and I feel like it's similar to Strava because everyone's on Strava now, including me. I do love it. It's like, it's great. I mean, it has some drawbacks, but it was called Attack Point. So it logged everything, and you know, like our team for Scholastica, we all followed each other. So it'd be so funny, like a Sunday night, if, you know, we were training like 20 hours a week and someone had like 20 hours. And you were at like 19 on Sunday at like 9 p.m. You'd go for an hour run or hour and a half to beat them. So kind of like Strava now where everyone is looking at your training log, but it's a lot about segments too. Like people are chasing those segments for, you know, PRs or QOMs, KOMs. It's I just track my training mostly on Strava and then look at, you know, making sure I'm not jumping too much with mileage each week just to stay injury free because I've been really lucky, knock on wood, but I don't think I'm like meticulous in writing down my thoughts or like what went well or things with races that you probably should do because there's so much that can go right or wrong, especially in a longer race. So I mostly just do Strava.
So it sounds to me like you're a pretty instinctual kind of trainer runner.
Yeah, I would say you know, when I ran the 327 back in 2019, I followed the Mill City running program.
Right.
But it was just those two workouts that were kind of key per week, the long run and the intensity workout, which is pretty basic.
Yeah.
And then I actually met Tiffany Carey, who I attribute, honestly, a lot of my success to just because she is such a hard worker. She's so talented. And I actually, when I met her, I was like, wow, I've met my match with like energy level because she is so outgoing and I am too, but I love that about her. So when I met her and saw how she trained, I know you coach her, Tony, and she actually introduced me to the Hansen's training program. So then I got a little bit more structured in 2022. With my training and then also this year for Boston. So 2022 for Grandma's, 2023 for Boston. I did the same program, Hansen's, because it works. So kind of the advanced training program where they focus on Tuesday, Thursday, hard workouts, like threshold and some speed and then a long run.
So let's go back to 2019. You finished Grandma's, you qualify for Boston. What was going through your mind as you kind of like think of what's next? And obviously COVID happened like pretty quick less than a year later. So what was next for you?
So I was still living in the cities and I was pumped about Boston. I no doubt in my mind that I was going.
Really?
Yeah, I was so excited to qualify. And like I said, I thought that was so fast then, but everything's relative. Yeah. I did a few more races. I think I did TC 10 mile. And then I actually moved back to Duluth in the end of 2019 in December, because I was kind of coming here every weekend. Like, it's just my playground. And I was like, gosh, I'm commuting back, and you know, I miss friends and I miss the community and just how close everything is. Like, you have to drive so far when you're living in the cities to just be, you know, in the woods by yourself, and everything's kind of tangible here. So I moved back, and then I started training for Boston January and was pretty consistently training, but obviously COVID hit kind of like March, I would say, of 2020, and then found out, like, you know, we kept getting updates and finally they just canceled it. And so then I was like, okay, well, I'm not running a marathon this year. I kind of lost interest in training, which a lot of people, like some people really took the, you know, maybe more like on a professional level, took it as time to train and develop and really, you know, reach their goals and not have to worry about races interrupting that training.
Right.
But I kind of lost motivation. So I didn't really train much. And then 2021 hit and I started training again for Grandma's Marathon. Didn't follow a training plan and didn't have a lot of success. I think I PR'd by like maybe a few seconds. So I actually met the biking group that I bike with on Tuesday nights, which is Rachel Howard, Diana McFadden, Tiffany Carey, and then Leanne Bronson. And we all, so Rachel introduced me to Tiffany, and she's big on running, but the rest of them are pretty big on biking. Right. So again, seeing how Tiffany trained and following her advice to join and start training through the Hanson's program inspired me. She was way faster than me. I had such a hard time keeping up with her in her workouts, and I was dying like every workout. And I remember telling my boyfriend Nick after every workout, like, that was so hard. She's so fast. I died. And she's so encouraging though. Like, I remember just getting dropped on her like pickups on Park Point, and she'd always circle back for me after they end and like, just try to stick with me on this one. Like, I'll block the wind. She's so sweet. But then also the bike group, just these badass ladies that are in their 50s, 60s, and they're still after it, and they're so talented. And how cool. So I think just the mental switch and like meeting all the, these, you know, badass women that are still doing it this at this point in their life really like helped me kind of find myself and what I enjoy most, because then I started biking and running a lot more and started to find like a lot of success in the sports.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. It's great to have those mentors like that. That's one of the key messages of our whole podcast, is kind of how everybody's, we're all like links in a chain of endurance athletes, and you know, now you're kind of having your time, and you know, and you've got mentors to help you along, and someday you'll be the badass 50-year-old that's helping out somebody, you know.
Right. And all those years of knowledge, and then they're just passing it down to you, which is so cool, because that takes so long to, you know, you have so many, she's raced so many, Tiffany's raced so many marathons, and she knows that race, like the distance inside and out. So it's awesome to hear her, I guess, attributes to like how she has succeeded and ran so fast and eventually got her goal of sub three. So
well, that's cool to hear as well, Chelsea, how you were so focused on skiing and then kind of led to burnout, and now you have the ability to kind of do whatever you want and having the most success you've ever had.
Right.
I guess being kind of exposed to other training methods, like what Tiff has kind of imparted on you, I mean, how's that changed, one, your training, but also just like mindset with racing and thinking about that?
Yeah, so I think, like I said, like the three sports, it just, it helps because you aren't focused on one thing throughout the entire year. So, and they all play on each other, because I feel like running is the basis. Like, it's the most pure. It's just, I feel like it helps me be a better athlete in all, like both skiing and biking.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Right.
Yeah.
So with that, I get a little like, you know, if I get like I just skied this past winter. I finally like got back into it after how long. Like I dabbled a little bit in 2020 or 2022, and then 2023, you know, I actually raced the Berkey and I was in the elite wave and I ended up getting 14th, and that was so fun. I'm racing against women that crushed me in college, like just crushed me, and I never even, you know, came close to them. So just being like that much faster is really fun. And I loved it. The whole process was really fun. Kind of intimidating going back to skiing, because you wonder, you know, where are you going to be compared to college? But after that, I started like the Berkey, and then I did Pepsi Challenge, and then I was like, all right, I'm kind of sick of skiing. I want to change it up. And I was really afraid to finally like go to Boston, since I didn't end up going in 2020 because it was canceled. I signed up for this year, but was really intimidated because it's not, I mean, Berkey is end of February and it's a quick turnaround to Boston. But I actually loved just jumping right in from skiing to running, because it was just a change of pace, and I was a little, you know, tired, but it still, like, my body held up pretty well.
All right. And so then, how did Boston go for you?
It went well, a lot better than I expected, actually, because 6 weeks, I didn't know if I was going to be able to run sub three. I actually ran 3:01:02 in, at Grandma's last year in 2022. So I didn't have a lot of, expectation going into it, and I actually felt horrible during the taper. So I remember texting Tiffany, and I'm like, oh my gosh, should I even go? Should I book the flight and the hotel? Because I waited until like 2 days before to book the flight and hotel. Like, I was signed up for the race, obviously, but to book the travel, because it, I mean, it's a privilege to run in a world major, but wow, is it expensive. So I remember texting her, and like, I was having a hard time running 8:30s, and I didn't want to pay all that money to go run 8:30s at a marathon. But she reminded me, like, the experience is amazing. You're supposed to feel horrible during the taper. But I just had never felt this bad during a taper. I think my body was recovering from like both skiing and running once you kind of let off the gas, and then everything starts rebuilding. So I ended up going, and then I didn't have like a plan really going into the race. I just knew that people said the Newton Hills at 16 kind of kick your butt. So I like hills. I started running like a 6:40 pace. I latched onto these two girls that were on a team. I don't remember what team, but I just pretended I was part of their team. And they kind of looked at me a few times, but in my head I was with them, and I know they had done this before, so they had their pace dialed. I think they started to kind of pull away from me like at 13, and I wasn't ready to start kicking it in yet. It's just, you know, you're halfway through, there's a lot of real estate left. So at mile 16, when the hill started, I was like, I still feel really good. So I started to pick it up, kind of push up the hills. And then with like 8 miles to go, I know, Heartbreak Hill is at mile 21 maybe, or 22. So, I went up that hill and, you know, really pounded it, because I was trying to, like, I'm like, if I have 6 or 8 miles to go, I want to make sure I'm dead by the finish line, and I still have a lot of energy. So I started to kind of manage my energy with how much I had left to go after running 6:40s for like the, I don't know, first 13, 14 miles. And then I ended up having a pretty big negative split. And I think I ran like the last few miles in like 6:15 or 6:10 because I was dead out sprinting. And I was like, once you kind of know you're going to hit that huge, like, you know, scary goal of sub three, then you kind of let loose a little. Like, you're like, before I was like, don't F this up, like, be conservative. It's like, you haven't done it before. So once I knew I was going to get that, I was like, well, how much can I sub three by then? And I really started to turn it on. So it ended up going really well. Running down Wilson Street is crazy. Like, how emotional, and it was so fun. I would compare that to like skiing down Main Street after the Berkey. Because it's like, you can't even hear your own thoughts. It's everyone is just screaming at you, and how cool. So those two experiences, Boston went better than I could have ever imagined.
And Boston's a hard course too. It's not a fast course. So to be, and what was your time?
Ended up being 2:54. I can't remember the seconds right now, but yeah, 254 something.
Is that a PR? Is that your PR now?
Or do
you
by far. So I went from a 327 to 301 to 254. Yeah. So I kind of am itching just because it is in a super fast course, but I do like the hills. I kind of want to run a faster course and see what I can do at the next one. So
cool.
PR'd every time, huh?
Yeah, I know. I'm like, but I'm sure, like, when you start training, you know, obviously the PRs aren't as big when you start getting down.
Sure. Yep.
Faster and faster. So it's been fun to shave off minutes every time.
And to see, you know, and you don't know yet, but just kind of see, like, have a sense of where your peak is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even know yet, but you know it's faster than 254.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I kind of have a lofty goal of eventually obtaining an OTQ. But
I was going to.
Just I think that'd be awesome. I'm 29, so I don't really know if it's in the cards, but I think it would take maybe focusing all in on running and you know, kind of
putting a couple years maybe.
Yeah, for sure, of builds and training plans and going through that. So and then also going back to focusing on one sport, it's you don't want to get burnt out. And I could
probably ski like a month or two.
Right.
But maybe not race, but just ski just to get off the running legs a little.
Yep. And then also I just think, like, it helps you stay injury free because, you know, it's so much strength, and skiing and biking, it's good leg strength. So, yeah, it helps stay injury free for running.
Do you read a lot? Do you study endurance sports a lot? Read a lot of training theories or all that stuff?
I do some, but I also got my degree, my first degree in exercise physiology at Scholastica.
That makes sense.
So I love the science behind everything and also just like the mental aspect too. But I would say I read some of it, but not, I don't stay like as up to date on it as I'd like.
Yeah.
As you probably do.
Well, I was curious because a lot of the things that you have been saying in this interview shows a lot of knowledge that maybe I wouldn't always see from someone at your age, but since you studied it in school, that makes sense. That's where it comes from. So that makes total sense. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then
that's great.
Understanding, like, Chad was super knowledgeable in training us and his philosophy with training and developing that base and, you know, how to perform at, you know, pushing your lactate threshold closer to your VO2 max and always working on that and the different levels of training and how important going slow is. So yeah, that was really helpful too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And beyond a like a reading knowledge base, I mean, how much do you think you apply that kind of science and testing, tracking, that sort of thing to your actual training? I mean, are you doing like VO2 max type tests and stuff, or do you get back in at the lab in Scholastica?
Right? I would love to. I mean, because like they talk about VO2 tests, and you know, it's a lot natural ability, talent, like, but you can change it some degree. It's just like, I know it's a lot natural ability, but I'd be so curious to see like what my VO2 max is currently at, you know, just having this success, because I feel like it really, like, I was able to push my lactate threshold closer to my VO2 during ski season. And I feel like that's why I was able to have such a successful Boston. And also just going into like biking this season, like, able to like push at a higher heart rate for a longer period of time. So yeah, I'd be super curious and would love to jump back in the lab and see what it is. But other than like that, applying like that philosophy of like, you know, going slow, I love going slow, keeping the heart rate low and making sure you're doing those workouts like at a really low stress level, and then also adding intervals. I don't train at like level 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, all the levels as I probably should. And it's so interesting with skiing, like, we always based it on like heart rate and time. And then entering the running world, everyone bases it on pace and distance and
mileage.
And it was like, whoa, like, and so I think that's why runners really run way too fast all the time.
Yes.
And they're like, well, you know, this calculator says that my pace should be this when it's easy. I'm like, well, what is your heart rate at? Like, your body still recognizes that stress. Yeah. And you should probably slow down.
Totally. Yep.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Runners are not so great at that. And the ones who are instinctual and kind of run on feel probably end up having longer and better careers than the ones who trying to follow the numbers all the time.
Right. And just worried about what their average pace is. Like, I don't care. I'll race when it's time to race, but I do like going slow and, you know, making sure that you're having that recovery and, you know, training at that low level.
I was just listening, well, it was a couple of weeks ago now, to an interview with Jakob Ingebrigtsen, the Norwegian, who's pretty much the best middle distance runner in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
He just ran a 7:54 2 mile, set the world record. Yeah, 2 miles. And they asked him, you know, how hard does he run in training? He said, never. He never runs hard in training. The only time he ever runs hard is in a race. It's the only time.
Because he's probably racing so much that he, you know, that is the workout. At this point in the
year, this is a season now.
Right.
But not even in the off season, he's not 80% is kind of the max effort ever in his workouts. And they're very meticulous with their training, and they measure their blood lactate all the time, at constantly, like at every interval. So they're making sure that they don't get that lactate too high.
Right.
So they're doing the finger prick every single 800 or 400 or whatever. So they're very, very precise.
That's to guarantee
that they don't work too hard in their training.
Right.
Yeah,
and we did that. Like, we did the finger pricking and the lactate testing during college, too. And
also,
there's just, like, you can get so far into it with that. And also, even, like, biking, I'm learning, like, you know, putting, like, a power meter on your bike and measuring your wattage and all of that. And I think it is really cool, but I also get a little hesitant because then that dips down into, like, getting... I just don't want to get burnt out, you know, like focusing so much on one thing, and like it stops being fun.
Yeah, exactly. So. That's a big key. Like you just said it, fun, you know, fun, instinctual, freedom, like those kinds of things you can't really put numbers on and measure, but you know it when you are experiencing it.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah.
Well, Chelsea, you have some lofty goals, you know, with like an OTQ. Mm-hmm. You've had lofty goals. It sounds like your kind of whole running career, you know, outside of college and Boston. And so what do you think it's going to take to like get there? You've had several PRs in a row, every marathon. So what's it going to take, you know?
I think I want to run, like, I'm thinking it's getting close to, like, I need to sign up and decide CIM this fall or this December I want to run it and just see. I know it's the last chance to, like, you know, for OTQ, a lot of people are going to be there, but I think it would take at least 3-4 years of running marathons and maybe solely focusing in on running and doing the build, you know, and not focusing as much on biking and skiing to get that OTQ. And obviously being a little more diligent in strength training, it's not my favorite. I do it once a week because I know it's good for me, but I hate it. So being really diligent in that, and also like all the things that you know you should do that make you better that everyone hates, like foam rolling and eating better. You know, everyone could eat better, but I love ice cream, and just letting go of some of that stuff. Going to bed early, I'm not great at that. Mobility. Stuff like that. So I think adding all of that in like would really help. But again, I just don't want to get, I'm hesitant to do it. I'm not ready to like put all my cards into one sport yet.
Yeah.
But I've also even thought about like trying to bike at a higher level or ski at a higher level. Right. Like there's Team Berkey and the cities, and they're based out of the cities. And actually now Chad's coaching that. So that seems super fun to have like a team to train and, for after a lot of people are like after college training for them at a competitive level. And so I'm kind of just waiting for something to stand out. I think running might be like the first thing that I want to focus in on and see what I can do, but we'll see. Right now I'm just loving doing all three.
Cool.
How about the trail world?
That looks amazing to me. I mean, I follow like Grayson Murphy on Instagram, and she is so fast and so good at trail running. And then also just listening, like, who was it? that ran, they were just on Threshold Chad's podcast, but I'm blanking on their name, but running just like the vertical, like mountain marathons, or not marathons, but like mountain races, like where it's just an insane amount of vert. And like you're going like 3 miles, or like Mount Marathon in Seward, Alaska. Like those sound so fun. And I think like a lot of skiers do those and have success at them, because it is about, like, you know, your VO2. So that I do want to dabble in. I just don't know.
And you like hills, so.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know when, but like the 50Ks and ultras, that sounds really cool. I just haven't done a trail race in so long. I've done like the NMTC series, which those are really fun. I did those in college. But I know I did one during the spring, the 10 mile at Spirit, but I need to build some ankle strength for sure, because it's so technical, and like, you know, you can kind of zone out when you're running on the road, and that's all, like when you're running on a trail, you better watch your feet, because it is so chunky and technical, but also it's so cool to see how fast people can like descend those hills, even with the rocks and the roots, and kind of like mountain biking, but you're on your feet. So
So what's your tactics for injury prevention? And I think this is great for our listeners, you know, love to hear just different perspectives and what's worked well. So what do you attribute to running at a high level, staying injury free?
Yeah, I would say my one injury, like that was like the largest injury I had, was a reaction to a metatarsal stress fracture in my left foot my senior year of high school. And that was because, you know, I was just, I actually started focusing on running, and I ran like 2 cross country meets, won them both, and then that happened. And then I just got on the elliptical. But I learned, you know, I probably wasn't intaking enough calories, and then just like really paying attention to my calcium. And now it's been, I don't know how long since I've gotten an injury, but I really do, like, even though I strength train like once a day, like, or once a week, I do really focus on, you know, my hips, my glutes, my core. I'm huge about core, just everything that makes, you know, the stabilization for running. And you're, you know, if you have like a knee injury or like even ankle, like it usually stems from like weak glutes or hips. So making sure that I'm focusing on those. And then also making sure that I'm running slow when I should be, not doing more than like 2, maybe 3, if there's like a race during the weekend, intensity sessions a week. And then I think skiing honestly helps so much, because you are doing, you know, it's such a strength sport, like it's strength and endurance. And you're developing all of those muscles, and, you know, it helps take the pressure off the joints. Biking too. I mean, it's not upper body, but again, it's such low impact, low, you know, you're not putting a lot of stress on your joints when you're biking. So I think that really helps. And try to eat decent, guess, like everyone does. So
From kind of developing the muscle standpoint of skiing, what discipline is better for that? And I think I know.
For
skate or classic, what one is better for runners from like the muscle development or strength standpoint, do you think?
That's hard, because, well, skate is like, classic is more upper body, so skate's more lower body. So yeah, skate. But also, you know, like classic, there's like, it's really good to like bound up hills, and, you know, that's kind of the same motion as running. So, but yeah, I would say skate for your legs, just because it is more legs than upper body, which I tend to do better in skate because of that. I don't have a large upper body, and you know, you're training all your, if you're running and you're biking, it's more legs. And in the fall, I quick try to get some upper body in to survive for the classic skiing, but yeah, definitely more upper body for classic.
So you were living in the cities, the concrete jungle, you moved back to Duluth. It sounds like a big reason just to get access to, you know, the outdoors, which I think is a lot of people who live here. That's what they'll say. That's why they live here, right?
Right.
So from a skiing, biking, and or running perspective, where are some of your favorite spots to train in Duluth?
I would say So skiing, Magny Snively. Yeah. I love it out there. And it's when it's groomed well, it's amazing. But I also love Sugarbush, and that's just outside of Duluth, up the North Shore. Like, I cannot believe I just discovered that 2 years ago, and I lived in Duluth and, you know, skied.
Yeah.
But that is like, I mean, I feel like that's great Berkey training even. Just, it's so beautiful, it was so fun. So that's my all-time favorite, but it's not in Duluth. Otherwise, in Duluth would make me Snively for skiing. And then running, I don't do a lot of trail running just because I am mostly, you know, racing on the roads. But I would say running, I really like zoning out by the lake, like the course of grandmas. I love that. Like, feel like the lake is so relaxing and gives you energy. So running along the North Shore Scenic Highway, I love that.
Yeah.
And let's see, biking. I really like Mission. It's fast and it's flowy. But I also like Lester, too, just because I kind of grew up in Lakeside. So I love going back to those trails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
There's a lot of disciplines in biking. It sounds like you're more in the mountain bike.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. There's like road biking, gravel biking, mountain biking. So, and then with mountain biking, like enduro, downhill.
Right.
Exactly. So I like more of the cross country aspect, but I've recently dabbled in the enduro, and it's scary. Like, people are wearing full face helmets and chest protectors, so that I'm like, oh gosh, should I be going down this road? Because I just like I think I push it a lot, and I do fall a lot during biking, but I'm also trying to get better and like learn and see how fast I can go. But yeah, I'm starting to dabble in enduro, and it's fun, but I definitely prefer cross country because you know, it's more of the grind uphills, and I like racing like uphill and downhill versus just down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's on tap? What's next race wise or training wise? I mean, you mentioned CIM, but anything else the rest of this year?
Yeah, I think, well, I have I'm in kind of like bike mode after Boston Marathon. So, I paced a couple people for the half at Grandma's, but haven't run any races. There's like a 5K, I think, is it YMCA? 5K shuffle on the Wednesday? The sidewalk
shuffle,
So I think I might do that. And then Thursday, there's an enduro, women's enduro bike race that I'm going to do at Lester. And then I have, it's Orta Shore. It's a mountain bike race mountain bike, like gravel kind of, in Marquette, Michigan, that I'm going to do in August. And then more bike racing, Copper Harbor, Michigan, during Labor Day. And then Margie Gessick. It's like a very, it sounds brutal. 50 miler and 100 miler. I'm definitely doing the 50, but people are out there all night and just pushing their bike uphill. So that'll be an experience. But for running, I want to see if I can get in with like a charity partner for TC 10 mile, just because I love that race. And I did it like right after I had COVID last year, and I got a pretty large PR, but I know I can run faster.
Yeah.
And then I also want to do a half. I'm thinking about the Whistle Stop, because everyone talks about how amazing that race is, and it's right over in Wisconsin. So I kind of want to see how much I can shave off for a PR there. And then, like I said, maybe CIM in December. Yeah. So
cool.
Yeah.
It sounds like a great plan.
Yeah.
Fun. A lot of racing.
Yeah. I like it. As long as it's fun and stress-free, then I'm all about it.
Cool.
Awesome.
Any other questions?
I don't think so. You actually stole my last one about the plans for the rest of the year, so that's maybe a good place to finish.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chelsea.
Yeah, thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
And that wraps up the latest episode of the podcast. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Keep us going. Thanks to Chelsea for joining us on the interview section. Thanks to you, Mike, for doing all the editing work and the studio work and everything. And look forward to seeing everybody out there.